Good morning. What an amazing morning. Well, last week, how many of you were at the pavilion to see the testimony of the Lord released into our city, restored and released? And today I feel like I have a word from the Lord, that timely word that, you know, we've been praying and believing for the restoration of our city for many years since the Lord positioned us here. And one of the keys to that, we're going to look into Ezra and Nehemiah about how the testimony that was lost. See, the book of the law was lost and all of those things were lost. And Ezra came and taught the people and restored the worship. And the testimony of the Lord was key in the restoration and the rebuilding of the city. So we had this amazing thing that people who have gone before us as we have stepped into this season of rebuilding and restoration. And last week we had the amazing opportunity to share with our community the testimony of the Lord of lost spiritual inheritance, that things that will be restored, we remember the former glory in the hopes and the perseverance to obtain the greater glory that God desires to do as we restore and rebuild. Amen? So as we went through our week, we had quite a week here at Washington. I don't know how many of you have seen the crane trucks and the blocked off streets and the collapse of the building. And I just really began to feel this shifting in my spirit as we saw this building with the cracks and begin to collapse. And when I heard them say, "We are shoring up the foundations to stabilize them so that we can rescue the woman that's inside." And something just struck my spirit that that's exactly what we have been called to. We have been called by releasing the testimony and restoring the altars, restoring the worship, restoring the temple, and rebuilding the walls of our city that we may shore up the foundations to build up again for the salvation of many. So let's just start with that. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, that you are a rebuilder of ancient ruins and cities long devastated. But Father, we thank you that your desire is not just for us to celebrate the former glory, but to look forward and to pull into this region, Father, the greater glory. The latter will be greater for the salvation of souls and for the restoration of our city in the name of Jesus. Amen. How's that for an intro? Come on, Jesus. He's so good, isn't he? So I began to feel this picture and this anticipation of, like, Lord, this is exactly what you're doing. And then I remembered how a couple weeks ago we had all of those storms come through. And we had the word of the Lord that came forth in Matthew 7. And it said about how when the rains came and the floods were in the streams rose up and the wind beat against the house. And it said, but those that were built on the rock, it stood and it withstood. And it withstood the storms. And I just couldn't help but think as they were interviewing the engineers and the different people, the city management that was responsible for taking down the building, they said, "We're really concerned about the storms and the winds that are going to come in, that they're going to collapse this." And I thought about the word of the Lord that says, when we hear his word and when we put it into practice, that we have that solid rock foundation. So I began to think, how do we reestablish the foundations? How do we begin to restore? And I thought about the scripture in Psalm 11:3 that said, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's exactly what we're seeing here. You see, what causes a foundation to crumble? Sometimes it's the storm. Sometimes it's the crack. Sometimes, you know, they said there were bricks falling out in the window, and there was a guy playing his video games, and he said, "Oh, this building's going to collapse." And then it did. And I thought that was a little funny, like, oh, and you sat there and played video games. But, you know, there's there's some clues when things are beginning to collapse, and we see this. And we see this all around, and we see it in our culture, and we see it in our families, and we see it in our schools, and we see it in the media and the government. We see the evidence of what? A foundation that has shifted. And it's because it's not been established on eternal things, right? And so we see this shifting, and it's caused sometimes by the earth shifting and earthquakes or shifting of platelets under the earth, or maybe just not building in the right soil. You know, it says, let your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And so we need to be rooted and grounded and on this foundation. And as I began to process this week, as I began to speak with different people and pray with different people, I suddenly became aware that it's not only about the ruins in our city and the foundations being shaken in our city, but it's things in our personal lives. Some of you have gone through some storms that the winds have come against you and the rains have come down hard and the waters have risen up and you are feeling overwhelmed that you have been shaken. But the word of the Lord for you today is in 2 Corinthians. Let me find it here because I thought it'd be faster to do it this way. Here we go. It says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing powers from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And that is the word of the Lord today. The storm may be all around you, but if you are on the sure foundation, you will not be taken down. And so, that's right. Today, the Lord is wanting to restore. He's wanting to restore solid foundations so that when these things come, and the word of the Lord tells us it will come, that not only will you stand, but you will be one who builds up and who restores. And so we say, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the response is, the Lord's a builder. He wants to restore ruins. So we see in Isaiah 58, and Travis has that for me, thank you. It says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Some of you have been in a dry place. Some of you need strength. Some of you need a touch in your body. God is about restoring even your frame and strengthening your hands and strengthening and establishing the work of your hands. You will be like a well-watered garden and like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repair of broken walls, restore of streets with dwellings. You see, the Lord is the one who comes to repair the broken places, whether they're broken places in your heart, broken places in your relationships, broken places in your bodies, broken places in your finances, or whether we're prophesying into the city that God will raise up and restore ruined places. We've sent teams into the West End just recently, and we have seen God raise up and restore. You see, it's both. It's first in the spirit and then in the natural. We must overflow so that the things that are the foundations of what are being established in our hearts and our lives overflow until we see the tangible evidence in our city, in our culture, and in our nation. And so we see that he is the repair of the breach. Some of you have relationships that need to be restored today. God is a restorer. He is a repair. And it says, and he makes it a place where we can dwell once more. And how does he do that? By him coming to dwell. We repair the altars. We establish his temple. We establish his worship in our homes, in our lives, in our schools, in our cities, in these places, so that he can come and dwell. And when he comes and dwells, it's a good dwelling place, isn't it? So let's see what else he does. In Isaiah 61, he talks again about restoring ancient ruins that have been devastated for generations. Honestly, sometimes we look, whether it's generational sickness or addictions or poverty for generation, we look at these things and we look and we sometimes we look, let's be honest, sometimes we look and it looks hopeless out there. We think, what can we do? We have like one building and one coffee shop back there. What's this little bit? But he says, no, I'm going to restore ancient ruins. It says they. Who's they? The people that he ministers to, the people that he binds up their brokenhearted, the people that he takes the ashes of fallen ruins and turns them into beauty, the people that he comforts in mourning, the people that he heals. These people, and who are these people? It's us. It's us. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us to rebuild ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. When I look out there, I see a city that's been devastated for generations. And what do we need to do? We need to go back and restore the foundations. We need to remember the former glory, but we don't just need to settle there. We need to call forth the greater glory of what God sees. You see, many, many years ago, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, and he prophesied the devastation of Jerusalem. But can I tell you that he also prophesied the restoration of Jerusalem? He also prophesied the restoring of the temple. But can I also tell you that it speaks to a greater day when the earth will be covered with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas, that the temple of the Lord, that the earth will be his dwelling place and the city of peace, and he will be the glory within and the fire around and the glory within. It speaks to a greater time. God is restoring foundations. He is building up ancient ruins, and he will do that work, whatever you have need of today. He is a restorer and a repairer, and we declare that today. Now, so we see this in Isaiah 45, where he begins to declare 200 years before the exile of the Jews and before the return of the Jews, he prophesies by name Cyrus. He calls him by name before he's even born, and he says that I'm going to appoint him. He wasn't a Jew. God used him. Sometimes, you know, we put him in this box, like God can only do things certain ways with our church or with, you know, our family or whatever. But God is so vast, his kingdom, and he has people that serve his purposes. So we have this prophetic word over Cyrus that he will not only restore and rebuild the ruins, and God has appointed him. In the following chapter says, behold, my purposes, what I have made known from the beginning, my purposes will stand. I call forth a man to achieve my purposes. So God appoints him 200 years, and then we see this. Now, before I go into the beginning of this restoration, I want you to know God is here to restore places that need to be restored in your life. Maybe there have been some cracks in your walls. Maybe you've been a little shifting in the ground. Maybe there's just been some exposure to some things that God is bringing to light. God always reveals things to heal and to restore and to build up. And how many of you remember the word of the Lord when Pastor Johnny talked about Zerubbabel? When he talks about Zerubbabel, he says that as he begins, it says that the latter glory will be greater. And the prophet Haggai says that remember the former glory, but the glory that's coming will be greater. Restoration looks more glorious than former glory. Restoration looks like that. Now, in Isaiah 45, some of you are familiar with Lance Wellnow and some of his amazing teachings. And recently, some of his prophetic words concerning Isaiah 45 and a Cyrus anointing for a rebuilding in our nation and people that God is lining up and appointing to use for our nation. And what I want to recognize here is that there are times and seasons, and we're just going to declare today that this is a time of rebuilding and restoring the foundations and making a sure foundation that we can build upon. And I also want one of the things that he has prophetically released, which we see in Ezra and Nehemiah. that along with builders, you see, Zerubbabel was the builder. It says the people rejoiced when they saw the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. It says Zerubbabel laid the foundations, and he also put the capstone into the shouts of God bless it, God bless it. So we have builders, and then we have teachers like Ezra that teach people not only the word of God, but equip people with the knowledge to rebuild and to restore. Now, we obviously are called to restore things in the spirit realm and the spiritual heritage and the spiritual foundation, but we also need teachers to equip us to build and to restore the ruins in our economy, in our government, in our media, and in our school systems, all of these places. Secondly, it says that they worked alongside with the prophets. And it says that the builders worked alongside with the prophets. We had Zechariah and Haggai prophesying at this time. And what this does is it releases the vision of heaven into earth. It partners the supernatural with the natural. Because without that, we can't see. We remember the former glory, but we lay hold of heaven to see the new glory that God is wanting to release. And so we see this amazing partnership where we have builders, where we have the authority of God released through Cyrus, through leadership. Then we have provision released. Then we have teaching anointings released and building anointings released and prophetic anointings. And these work together for the restoration and the building up of ancient foundations that will be restored and rebuilt. So it says the sons of Issachar knew the times and seasons. And so what I want to release today, and we're going to stop and pray over, we are in a season of rebuilding. Whatever you have need of to be restored today, if it's a relationship, if it's a marriage, if it's a foundation, if it's a financial need, or just a just things that need to, that are maybe out of alignment. You know, we see like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It might have been like this wonderful engineering building, but the foundation wasn't right. God wants to shore those things up, just like he said, shore those things up. And God is coming to do that work today, but he's also releasing the knowledge of the word and the knowledge and the wisdom of heaven to know how to take hold of the situation to restore it. Whether it's your health or your finances or your relationships, God is coming to do that, and he's also releasing the prophetic word to activate it and to decree it, that not only will be it restored, but it will be restored to greater glory. So let's just, Father, we thank you. We recognize times and seasons, and Lord, we declare that for our lives, for our families, for our homes, for ourselves, for our city, for our state, and for our nation, this is a time of rebuilding and restoring ancient foundations, Lord. We thank you for the foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We look to a city whose builder and maker is God, and we ask that the builder and maker of heavenly things would come to earth and restore these places in our lives, and in our families, in our homes, in our culture, Lord, in our city, and in our nation. And Lord, we thank you that you are bringing builders together. You are bringing the knowledge and the skills together to restore our ruined cities and things that have been devastated for generations. And we thank you, Lord, for the revelation of teaching of how to do these things, both in the spirit and in the natural. And Lord, we thank you for the prophetic release from heaven that says that, yes, we remember the former things. We remember the glory, but we say, do it again in our day, Father. We have heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds, but renew it in our day. But Lord, we thank you that you're not just renewing it, but we thank you, Father, that you will release a greater glory, that the latter will be greater. And we thank you, Father, that you are coming with ever-increasing glory, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we say yes and amen. Amen. So in a practical sense, we look at Ezra and Nehemiah. And for some of you, I know for myself, when I read these, I love, you know, I'll grab a chapter and grab some amazing scriptural truth that just come alive in my heart. But sometimes I have trouble, like, chronologically thinking, well, when was this and when was that? And so we have this amazing thing where I said 200 years before Isaiah prophesies, and then we see Ezra come along. In Ezra, we see that Ezra was the teacher. It talks about him, and it says that he was very devoted. Let me see here so I can tell you. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law and the word. And we know that when God wants to build, he does it line upon line, precept upon precept, right? So we see Ezra, we see Cyrus has the authority, Darius make decrees for provision and restoration. Then we see Ezra comes along, and he begins to restore the knowledge and the teaching of the word and the law. They begin to reestablish and to rebuild. Zerubbabel is one of the builders through both of these books of the Bible. First, they rebuild the altar. Then they rebuild the foundations of the temple. And then what God begins in the temple overflows to the city. And we see the rebuilding of the city, and we see God begin to declare things over. So we see this partnership with builders, with prophets, with teachers, and we see this exemplified. So in order to do these things, we see where God calls Ezra, someone who's not even a Jew, puts the favor. And, oh, just a little interesting side note on this. When we see this, we see it's in the governmental part. We see that it's Cyrus and Darius, and then we see there's a break. So let me tell you this. Restoration is a process, and it's progressive. You know, it's ever-increasing glory. Sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see it. When we look at this restoration, there were breaks in the restoration. But through it all, you know, sometimes when we feel like there's this pause or we don't see God working, we think he's finished or we think it's not going to happen. But the word he said, what I have purposed, my purposes will stand and they will be accomplished. But sometimes we don't know. I mean, sometimes there's different reasons. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes there's this break and we think that, you know, it's not going to happen. But it's progressive. So we see these different breaks. But an interesting thing in here is we have this little chapter of Esther and Xerxes. And then we see this where the favor of the Lord comes on Esther for her people and Mordecai is raised up as a prime minister. Then we see where restoration begins again, and it's the stepson of Esther. So we know that there was influence from Esther and Mordecai that brought favor again for the restoration, which is where we see, and I have a hard time with this one, Artaxerxes, something like that, is the one that just begins to decree when Nehemiah comes in and begins to rebuild the walls. So what I'm telling you in rambling with all of these things is God has people and places appointed, and he is progressively trying to move you toward your restoration. He is progressively moving us towards restoration in our city. It takes a village. It takes the body of Christ. It takes us working in unity with one another. And we're going to see that in Nehemiah. So in order for God to begin restoration, there has to be a returning. So we see in Ezra chapter 1, where we see the first return, there were actually three seasons where the exiles began to return. And we read about it in Psalms. It says, and when we returned, we were like those who were dreaming, and our mouths were filled with joy. And they remembered Jerusalem. See, they didn't give up on their heritage. They didn't give up on the things that were precious, those things that were eternal. Some of you have generational blessing in your life. You need to lay hold of it. You need to treasure it. Some of you, you may be the first one to establish that, but we establish that and we build on it. We build on those foundations, and we also build on the foundations of those that have gone before us, even as we release that testimony of those that went before us and established even the revival outpouring in our community. Amen? So we see where there's this returning and there's this listing of all of these names. Can I tell you, God sees when you return? God sees a returning. But, you know, let's just say, like, your name is recorded there. There are others that still need to return. There are more that are coming that speak of restoration. There are lives that need to be restored and rebuilt on solid foundation. And so we continue to call for it. So let's stop there and pray into that. Father, just as we see the exiles that returned to Jerusalem, Lord, there was a remnant. God, we ask for the harvest of souls, that there would be a returning, Father, a returning to you, a returning to holy things, a returning to identity as sons and daughters of God. And we thank you for returning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for a Father that waits and longs for us and draws us back into communion with you. So we just ask for a returning of sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. First things are returning in Ezra 1. Then we begin to see where there's a restoration of things that were stolen and things that were lost. Can I tell you that God has everything recorded that the enemy has taken from you? It says gold dishes, 30, silver dishes, 1,000. Silver pans. You still looking for that pan you left somewhere, ladies, huh? Gold bowls, 30. I had a gold pie plate, and Pastor hid it, but we found it. Little rabbit trail there. Matching silver bowls, 410. Other articles, 1,000. My point being, God knows every detail. And God brought the restoration. He said, bring back the things that have been lost. God is doing that in your personal life, things that have been taken, things that have been stolen. God is restoring, and he's restoring it for his use. But can I also tell you, God's restoring things to the church. It says that the foundation of the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. God is restoring his foundations. Are you so thankful today for the apostles and the prophets and the restoration of the body of Christ, the restoration of the glory of God in the body of Christ and overflowing into the city and rebuilding? Amen. So we see this restoration, and then we see where they begin to rebuild the altar. We will never see ancient ruins restored if we don't restore the altars. And some of you are believing for your homes, for your marriages, for your children, for things that have been lost. And God says it all begins with repairing the altar, repairing the altar, and repairing the altar in your home, in your personal life, and repairing even the corporate altars here. And that's what we're all about here with, you know, obviously anytime we're together, but particularly on Friday night. And, you know, just even speaking into the global 24/7, I know one of the favorite messages of the house is that God is restoring the temple of David, and that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. And we're going to see this convergence when leaders from nations come here. Not only will they be depositing here, but they'll be receiving from the anointing that is in this house and that has been deposited in the generations before. So we're going to see this cross-pollination and this convergence of glory, and it's going to go forth to the nations, and it's going to be deposited here. So we're just going to see this amazing increase. So we see here, they're repairing the altars. So as we see that they begin to repair the altars, then they also establish worship. And we see where they bring in the Levites and the musicians and the singers, and they begin to, the builders laid the foundation of the temple. See, first they rebuilt the altar, which speaks of what? Relational. The sacrifice of Jesus to repair, communion, and restoration, that we can come before the altar. And then what happens? Restoration of the temple, his dwelling place, not only in our lives personally to be his dwelling place, but that our city would be a dwelling place for him. And so we see this establishing of the temple and the establishing of the worship, and they with praise and thanksgiving, they sang, "He is good and his love endures forever." Amen. So we're in this middle of this swirl. We got the prophetic swirl going on. How many of you get a word and get in the presence and you got the altars reestablished and you're worshiping and boom, what happens? Opposition, right? Okay, so no different back in the day. We got opposition. You know what? Opposition's going to come, but it doesn't look any different. Listen to this scripture and see if this sounds familiar. It says, then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Same things. Frustration, fear, discouragement. I'm thinking there's another one I have here somewhere. But, okay, discouragement, fear, frustration, accusation. We see here later where he says to them that they began to make accusations against them. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Can I tell you the plans of the enemy are the same? Fear? Anything fear-based, not God. Frustration. How many of you hit that frustration? You know what? Sometimes it's good to sit back and think, okay, like it actually says frustration. When you feel frustrated, take a step back and look and see, Lord, you know, why am I frustrated? What's going on here? Accusation. I'm telling you, the enemy of the work of God is accusation and false accusation, okay? And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, amen? So they began to set to work to rebuild. And we see here where as they begin to build in, it talks about how they begin to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the descendant of Iddo. And they finished building the temple according to the command of God and the decrees of Cyrus. And so we see here that we have the decree of the king. We have the provision of the king. We see that the building went on with the teaching and with the prophetic mantle. And so we see here that the people, they celebrated the dedication of the temple and the restoration of the temple. And Ezra 5, it also says this. It says that the people are building with large stones and placing timbers in the walls. The work is being carried on with diligence and is making rapid progress. We see here that the favor of the Lord was upon them, and when they began to build with large stones and timbers. And I just was thinking how the Lord began to decree to the Israelites to stack up stones. And that's what we did last week with those testimonies. You see, one of the ways to build on our foundation is to stack up the stones of testimony, the remembrance. How do you think they could sing, "He, the Lord is good, His love endures forever"? There's so many places where they go back and they remember when He brought them out of Egypt. They remember what He did at the Red Sea. They remember what He did in those desert places. Remember. Go back. Remember. Remember. One of the things that the Lord was speaking to me this week as I met with people with ways to build on foundations was, remember those things which are good and lovely and pure and true, and then do the things that you did at first and strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. The word of the Lord to His church in Revelation. And then we see where these timbers, and I just think timbers speak of the foundation posts of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God that Ezra was bringing forth. And he says, line upon line, precept upon precept. These are the foundational truth. And as they did this, what happened? It said they progressed. Without a renewing of our minds and obedience. What's it say? The ones that heard the Word and put it into practice were the ones that weren't shaken when the storms came. And it said that they made diligent progress. It's rapid progress with diligence. And how many of you want to see some progress? And it takes some diligence too. So we see here where we see that these things, they begin to establish the foundation. Now here's an exciting thing. Remember when we talked about when the Lord restores foundations, He always restores things better? Do you know that God's foundations look completely different than ours? You know, and in Isaiah 54, he talks about, oh, he's talking about Jerusalem again. He says, oh, city, storm-tossed city, and that city that's been devastated. He's talking about it. He says, but I will come, and he says, I will make your gates like turquoise and your build your foundations with sapphires. Now, is that awesome, sapphires? And then we see in Revelation 21, you know what, let me do this real quick because this is good stuff too. You know, God's foundations, when you think about restoration and think about what you're believing God to restore for your life or for our city or for our nation, listen to the foundation God talks about. He says, the walls were made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. God restores with precious things, precious, valuable things. And you know what? How are gems created? How are, with pressure and heat and shifting, but he reveals his glory. His glory comes forth in all of these things. And it says that the suffering that we now endure is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. So let's just stop. Father, we thank you for restoration. We thank you for your word that says that the latter will be greater and that the glory will be greater. So, Father, I just pray for every foundation and every broken wall, every place, Lord, that needs shored up by your word, by your truth, that needs the prophetic vision of heaven to call forth greater glory and restoration. And we say that restoration looks like greater glory, that it looks like precious stones and great value to you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the trial of our faith that is more precious than gold. And Father, we thank you that you are not only restoring our lives and our foundations, but Lord, we call forth the restoration of our city, Father, with eternal things, Lord, with precious things, Lord, and we say that the glory will be greater. Lord, we remember the testimony of what was before, but we say, increase it, Lord. The earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We say yes and amen. Yes and amen. And so God's restoration always looks greater. So in conclusion, we're going to just declare a couple more words of the Lord. And we're going to begin with Zechariah 4. And we're going to see again the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. How many of you are builders out there? See, when Nehemiah began to build the walls, see, it overflowed from the temple gates, right? And what did it say? That the glory, this is Ezekiel, I'm backtracking, but what, the glory was greater as it went out. So here we see, rebuild the altars, rebuild the foundations of the temple, begin to build that up, establish the worship, establish the word, it begins to build up, and then what happens? It overflows to the city. The city walls begin to be built up, and do you know how that begins to be built up? It says, each one took his place at the wall in front of him. Each one took his place at that wall. And they began to work together. And you know what happened? Opposition came. And you know what happened? They were there for each other. One had a shovel, one had a spear. You see, the body of Christ needs to be together. Instead of hitting each other with a spear, one of us needs to be watching over our brother with the spear while he's making diligent progress, right? Each one. And when they list all the people that were building, it says there were daughters, it says there were perfume makers, it says there were skilled laborers. No one's exempt. You have a place at the wall, whatever it is. God wants to use you to bring glory. God wants to use you to build up and to establish places of ruins. And so today, you, like Zerubbabel, are a builder that God wants to use. God wants to strengthen the work of your hands. You know, that was one of the prayers that they said. In fact, let's just raise our hands and say, Lord, strengthen the work of my hands, Father. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. We say yes to your partnership with you, Lord, that we will be builders. We will build up and not tear down, Father. We will tear down things that are not of you, and we will build up things that are of you. And we say, restore ancient ruins, Lord. Restore the ruins of our lives, in our hearts, in our families. Restore those broken places. But God, we ask that it would overflow into our city walls, into our city gates. Lord, you said that you would put gates and bars and doors. And Father, we ask, Lord, for those entrances, Lord, to be cut off to the enemy. And we say, come, Lord, come and dwell in this city, Lord. Come and dwell in our lives and in this city. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at Zechariah, and now I'm all over the place here. And I'm going to just read this and declare over you. It's Zechariah 4, Travis. And so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Put your name in there. This is the word of the Lord to you. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, Almighty Mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstones to the shout of God bless it, God bless it. Grace, grace. And then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Father, we thank you for beginnings. Lord, we thank you. We do not despise what we have seen the beginning of, Father, but we say renew it in our day. Increase it, Lord. And we say that you are the God of that city, Lord, whose builder and maker is God. You are the one that builds eternal things. And so, God, we ask that you would come and that you would finish what you started. You're the author and the finisher. And our confidence is in you, Father, to finish what you've started. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen the hands of each one of these ones here today, Father, that they would be strengthened, that what they have begun, they will finish. They will finish well. They will finish what you've called them to restore and what you've called them to, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we speak to those mountains. We say, who are you? Who are you? And we say, bow to Jesus' name. Bow to Jesus. And we say, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And then finally, we say the word of the Lord to Haggai. Aren't you so thankful for the prophets? Aren't you so thankful that the anointing that rested on these prophetic words how many years ago go forth and can resonate and can strengthen your spirits and your hearts to do the work that God has called you to restore? And so we see, it says, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the great high priest. We thank you, Lord, that you are the foundation and the cornerstone. We thank you that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have told us, be strong, for you are with us. You have said, your spirit remains. Do not fear. But, Lord, we thank you that you are coming in ever-increasing glory. So, Father, we say, enlarge our capacity. Start with us today, Lord. We thank you that you have made us your signet ring to carry the authority of heaven, Lord, to decree and to declare and to work and to build and to establish, Lord, what has been lost. We say, do it in our day, Lord. Renew it in our day. And, Father, we say yes. We say yes. And we thank you, Lord, for greater glory. We thank you, Lord, that this will be your dwelling place, Lord. We thank you that you're already in our midst, but we thank you for increase. We thank you, Lord, that the glory of the former, we thank you for what you're doing in the earth and in the nations, Lord, that the glory of the Lord rises upon us, Lord, that nations will come to the light. And we say, Jesus, you are worthy of the reward of your suffering. And we thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you've walked through a place where you've been shaken, where you may have a few bricks cracked, crumbling, broken heart, disappointment, God is here to restore today. God is here to heal. God is here to restore your foundations and to build you up. Our prayer team's coming. If you have a need, you'd like to pray, we'd like to pray with you. And let's continue to believe for the restoration and the building up of our city and of our nation. In Jesus' name.